the pylon. Touchdown!
They are chanting MVP.
I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Looking for the edge in your fantasy football league? You're in the right place. This is the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast.
If anyone's breaking out in a massive way this year, it's him.
Where smart strategy meets data that actually matters.
That's the type of ceiling we're talking about here.
Here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. We're here with Tom Carroll, otherwise known as Tommy Freeze Pops. He's been at Patriots training camp. You can listen to him on WEEI Radio 93.7, New England Sports Radio. Tom, thank you so much for joining.
Really happy to be back here. Yeah, let's talk some fantasy football. Even though I have come in last place in two consecutive seasons in my personal league, I am still ready to give the people some Patriots insight.
Tom, we need to talk offline, man. we cannot have that happen.
It's bad. Okay? It's real
bad. This is the last year. Listen, Tom, this is the last year that this is happening. I'm just letting you know right now.
I hope you're right.
We don't have each other's number. Like, I'm going to give you my number before, after we record here, because we are going to make this right. And you know what? I think we're going to go from last to first. I think that's what we're going to do. That's what we got. Tom, I'm not messing around here. Okay. That's not what we do. This is the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Okay.
I need your help. I need all the help I can get.
I got you, man. I got you, dude. I got you, man. I love it. First of all, huge props on just outing yourself as last place, because it's not easy to do. So, the first step to recovery is admitting, the situation. So I give you a ton of props there. All right. So let's get into it, man. First of all, I can only imagine the night and day difference in terms of the vibe at camp, just around this team, going from last year to this year, mostly in terms of coaching, from the head coach to the offensive coordinator, especially. I have to imagine, and Drake may have to deal with some pretty interesting circumstances last year. I have to imagine it's just pretty damn different overall.
Yeah, the entire operation is now a professional outfit. And before, with Gerard Mayo, it wasn't. It just wasn't. The vibe is completely different here. Mike Vrabel, I've been calling him an adult in the room. And you just see it and you feel it in everything we saw during OTAs and everything we've seen during training camp so far. He's actually coaching. He's popping around from position group to position group. And then yesterday, the joint practice against Washington, you saw the Patriots offense look as good as it has looked since probably 2021, the last time that they made the postseason. So, I know it's a practice and it's a controlled environment, but that's how good they looked against a team that was playing in the NFC Championship game last season. So I'm confident that the Patriots are going to be better this season. How much better are they? I guess we'll wait and see, but I don't think there's a universe where they win four games again. There will not be a third consecutive season where this team wins four games. Not going to happen.
It's funny because the Vegas is pretty bullish on the Patriots. They have them winning 11 games. They're over under, I think, is 11 or 10 and a half games this year, which is remarkable.
It's really high
turnaround. But then, when you look at it, though, you have Vrabel, who's a proven, winner, especially in the regular season, all that kind of stuff. And he just turns teams around and kind of have, like you said, it's a professional team, completely different. And that's part of the reason why. And, look at fantasy ADPs, the Patriots as a whole on offense, they're just all their ADPs are depressed. And I feel like I've been saying this since early on. I think there's just huge value to be had. And we're going to get into a lot of that stuff. I want to hit on this running back room first, if we can. We've obviously seen a lot of hype recently around the rookie, Trevion Henderson. Kind of people are catching up to what his ability is. And what have you seen, so far in terms of just ability? Forget about role just for a second, right? But in terms of ability and skill set, is the hype justified so far?
I think it is. And I think it has everything to do with his speed and his ability to catch the football out of the backfield. It's just noticeable how much faster he is than everyone else on the football field. And we saw it at Ohio State. He, after his freshman year, people were calling him maybe the best running back in the country. And then Ohio State is just so stacked. He's surrounded by so many studs. I think people kind of forgot how good this guy was, and he slides to the second round. Patriots scoop him up. Bit of an eyebrow raiser given all of the other problems and holes the team has, but he has looked like a stud so far in camp, and we can talk a little bit about what his role is going to be in this offense. But for my money, he's RB1 right now, and I think he's going to absolutely eat this season in this Josh McDaniels offense.
Wow, RB1. So how do you see the backfield shaking out between him and Ramondre Stevenson in terms of role? Like, I would have imagined that Ramondre would still be pretty involved, right? He lost some weight noticeably. But can we see Henderson take on a bigger role than some might think?
I really do feel like he's going to be taking on a bigger role than Ramondre this season. And I know Ramondre came in really good shape, but you had the intra-squad scrimmage a few days ago in the stadium, and Ramondre fumbled again. And the ball carrying issues, holding on to that football, was a massive problem last year. I think it was 7 lost fumbles last season, led the NFL. And then in a game-like situation, he's dropping the ball again. So my antennas are up big time on Ramondre, especially with how good Henderson has looked in camp. Like, I think he's a trade candidate personally, and I don't have sources telling me that that's, you know, inevitable or anything, but I would not be shocked, given what he makes and how good Travion Henderson has looked, that they might say, we don't really need this guy. I mean, we have Travion Henderson. We have Antonio Gibson, who's another guy that is a versatile guy out of the backfield, had some flashes last season. I think he kind of brings a different type of change of pace from Travion Henderson that might work better as a solid 1-2. And then the Patriots just picked up Jamichael Hasty the other day, a guy that's had a couple coffee in New England a few different times. But again, adding to that running back room, why are they doing that? Maybe they are trying to bolster that RB3 spot, knowing that Ramondre is someone that could be on the move. I don't know. But I think Travion Henderson is someone that you're going to see catching the ball out of the backfield with frequency in this upcoming season. I think you're going to see him used in more of that James White mold that the Patriots haven't had really since White retired. So Josh McDaniels has traditionally liked to have guys out of the backfield that can catch the ball. It's sort of like that get the ball out of your hands as quickly as possible mentality. Tight ends, slot receivers, running backs that can catch the football, the Danny Woodheads of the world. That's all Josh McDaniels. So you have Travion, who has shown throughout camp that he can do that, and it looks like they're going to run plays that allow him to make plays on the football field, catching the football. A lot of wheel routes into the red zone, into the end zone for Henderson here so far in camp. So on top of being a ball catcher, I think he's going to run the ball a lot as well. I think he's going to get the lion's share of the carries. I'm just really bullish on Travion Henderson. I don't know if you can tell.
I can tell. But, and you mentioned James White, but it sounds like this is like a James White plus,
yes,
type of role, right? Like,
absolutely.
It's not even the James White role. It's like the James White plus the Damian Harris role, or, you know, plus a little bit of the Ramondre role, or, you know, whatever it is. So that just screams fantasy production to me. That's what it seems. Yeah. Now, and you know, okay, and I don't know if you've seen goal line periods and things like that, but like, you look, you know, I think of typically like they've had the bigger back, like, be the guy at the goal line and things like that. Like, is there a world where he even takes over that role?
I think so. He's a big guy. I know he's not like tall, but he has massive legs. Like, he's jacked. So he might not be a Derrick Henry type, but who is? He's got size. Like, I personally am not all that concerned with him getting injured in those goal line type of situations. And I've been at camp every day. He's repping in those goal line situations. So I know that they're cycling in a bunch of guys there, but yeah, I think he could be a guy down by the goal line. I also think you're going to see Drake May get some designed runs around the goal line this year, something that they didn't really feel comfortable doing last year under Alex Van Pelt. They were really afraid that May was going to hurt himself when he was going to run a designed play where he'd be running the ball. It seems like McDaniels isn't going to be afraid to do that. And that's something that Patriots fans and people that play fantasy football should feel really excited about, because Drake May, as far as quarterback speeds go, he's in the top tier for my money. I mean, Lamar Jackson's probably in a tier by himself, but the way Drake May can move, he's right in that Josh Allen mold. He's got that size. He doesn't have maybe the bulk of Josh Allen, but I don't think that the Patriots are going to shy away from letting Drake May make plays with his legs this season. And that's another thing that's going to allow this team to win more football games.
Tom, you don't understand how that makes me feel. And
it makes me feel great as well.
People who listen to this show totally understand my love for Drake May this year. And I don't want you to sugarcoat it. I want you to tell me it like it is, Tom. By the way, guys, I'm not paying Tom to say this at all about Drake May, I swear. But people keep asking me why I keep waiting on quarterback in all my mock drafts that I've been doing, and I've been taking Drake May. They're like, why do you keep depending on Drake May? Why are you just taking Drake May? Do you draft any other quarterback besides Drake May? And I just say the same answer, but I want to not say anything. I just want to ask you the questions. Okay. So
sure.
I was going to say this for last, but I'm not going to do that anymore because I'm too giddy. I'm too giddy. I'm just holding in my excitement right now.
I love it.
I'm a big fan of his from a fantasy perspective going into this year. A lot for me is based on that unlocked rushing upside. Last year he was, I think it was four in his full games. He was fourth in rushing yards per game behind the guys that you mentioned, like Lamar and Jalen Hurts and Jaden Daniels, right? But he didn't have any design runs. And that is one of the key things for me, right? It's really something, like you said, the previous regime did not prioritize at all. He barely had any design runs last year. Do you see that changing at all this season in terms of design rushes? And also just overall, how would you say Drake May has looked so far in camp in this new system?
I do think that there is going to be designed runs for Drake May. And I do think that Drake May has looked really good in this Josh McDaniels system. And Wednesday against the Commanders was kind of the cherry on top of a really good camp for this second year player. And yes, he had a couple picks in the intra-squad scrimmage on Friday, but there were some receivers that maybe didn't run a route correctly, or they stopped on a route, or they would have maybe gone up for a ball if it was a live game action and they didn't. So I wasn't really concerned with those picks leading up to that practice. He had gone six straight practices in 11 on 11 drills without throwing an interception. And then he has the practice that he has against the Commanders where it was one bad ball interception. Everything else was on the money. So I think that May is going to look really good in the Josh McDaniels system. And I don't think that the Patriots are going to be afraid to unleash those legs in a real way, instead of his rushing yards coming from, basically, instead of there being coverage sacks, using his athleticism and picking up X amount of yards, you know, here and there, avoiding those big hits, which I think is going to be huge for him this year as well. He's really made a point to emphasize that he's not going to kind of extend plays the way that he did last year, which led to two hits to the head, one of which resulting in a concussion. He didn't miss a game from it, but he almost missed a game against the Titans last year because of a concussion against the Jets. So I feel really good about Drake May. I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to win MVP, but I think that you're going to see a great improvement from that rookie season to year two. And a lot of that has to do with having way better coaching around him and better players.
I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. You know, design rushes, scrambles, goal line carries, music to my ears. Now, when we look at these receiving options, I'd imagine the first option would clearly be Stephon Diggs. That's what I would imagine. From what I'm hearing, Pop Douglas could be that next Josh McDaniels slot receiver who gets peppered. And I'm also really curious about the young kid, Cal Williams, who, you know, I'm a huge fan of. But I also understand there could be some competition for that third receiver spot. You know, maybe, you know, Kayshon Boutte, I think, you know, he's also been making plays apparently. Do I kind of have that right? Like, how do you see this receiving room playing out in three wide receiver sets. And, you know, who are the guys Drake May is connecting with more often than not in camp right now?
So all four names you mentioned are guys that Drake has really had good connections with throughout camp. I would say Kyle Williams early in camp flashed, whereas Kayshon Booty the last few days has stood out as maybe being the wide receiver two on this team. He's been the guy out there in 12 personnel next to Stephon Diggs. And that's a huge step up from the Kayshon Booty we've seen the first 2 years of his career. He had flashes last season. If anyone plays fantasy football, I'm sure he was someone you picked up on the waiver wire and maybe he popped for you a couple games, but inconsistent, right? This upcoming season, it looks like he's going to be someone that's going to be way more reliable. And he actually told us after practice the other day that coming into last season and coming into the league, rather, he was coming off an ankle injury. And that sort of led to him not really having the type of preparation leading into the season that he would have liked. And then last year, he said he came into camp out of shape and used camp as a way to get in shape. This year, he has learned you have to show up in shape and then you can perform. And it's really looked good for Kayshon Booty so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if that production is higher this season. But the two guys that I'm focused on are, as you mentioned, Pop Douglas and Stephon Diggs. Diggs has looked fantastic throughout OTAs and training camp. I know that coming off an ACL is still something that you need to be worrisome about, but I'm just telling you what I see. It doesn't look like he's missed a step. He's catching everything. His cuts are cleaner than everyone else, even in the individual drills. It just looks different when Stephon Diggs is running the play, and he's the leader of that room. He's one of the leaders of this team. He's breaking down huddles. It's really fun to see sort of an alpha out there for the Patriots on the offensive side of the football. So I don't know if I can project a 1,000-yard, 100-catch type season for Stephon Diggs. I don't know that the offense is going to operate in that way. I think that they're going to be comfortable leaning on their running game and things of that nature. That's what Vrabel has shown in the past. Obviously, we saw the type of production that Derrick Henry had when he was coaching Henry down in Tennessee. So I don't know that Stephon Diggs is going to be one of these elite fantasy wide receivers, but maybe he slots in as your wide receiver three, wide receiver two, and you feel really good about it. Pop Douglas is the one that I think could have a really surprising season, given that he is that slot receiver in the Josh McDaniels offense. And we've seen it with Edelman. We've seen it with Welker. And now it's Pop Douglas's turn. Even a guy like Jacoby Myers, we saw have really strong fantasy seasons when he was playing in the Josh McDaniels offense, a guy that kind of slotted into that slot role as well. So I think Pop has looked really good in camp. In addition to being the guy that's going to be in that role, those two things together, I think he could have a really, really nice season. And look, again, I've come in last place in fantasy two consecutive years. So you tell me what that means, like being the premier slot receiver in a McDaniels offense. Does that mean that he's someone you should draft high? You tell me, but okay. So I think that he is going to be in that role.
Yeah. And he's somebody that we are all considering with our last round pick in fantasy drafts this year. Like he's on my list for, I've been a big Demario Douglas guy for a long time. He's always shown signs since his rookie year. Especially when you look at the efficiency metrics in his rookie year, he was up there on a per route run basis. You know, he had a really high yards per route run, which means that, with your opportunity given, you were actually, really able to perform, and he continued to do that, right? It was just a matter of quarterback play and opportunity, right? Even last year, Drake May was looking for him, right? But the offense was just a little bit of a mess.
It was a huge mess. You don't need to sugarcoat it. It was an absolute disaster of a season offensively. So the fact that it's not going to be a disaster and you have a guy that has shown flashes, I think you can feel really good about where Pop Douglas is going to be in 2025.
It's official, guys. Demario Douglas, lock it in. Last round pick. Do it.
I love it.
Efton Chisholm, can he be a direct backup maybe? to Demario Douglas in the slot? What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough because the room, and it's not like this room is brimming with Pro Bowlers, right?
But sure, sure.
It's crowded, right? And I think receiver rooms around the league are always crowded. You can't keep everybody. So when you look at how it's kind of shaking out, you have Diggs, you have Williams, you have Booty, you have Pop. That's four right there. And then you have a guy like Mac Hollins, who's getting a lot of first team reps as well since coming back. Now he had been dealing with an injury last few days. He's been in there with the first team offense. So that's five receivers right there. Then you have guys like Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, who were drafted last year. Baker has had a really good camp. Polk has had some good moments, but he took a little bit to get on the field in training camp. So now we're at seven. And then you have Kendrick Bourne, who's been sort of a mainstay of the post-Brady era here in New England. I wouldn't be surprised if Bourne gets moved or cut. But again, that's a guy that that locker room thinks is a leader, and he's had moments here, right? We're now up to eight, right?
Right.
And then there's Efton Chisholm, who during the spring was a guy that was popping and Drake May kept finding. But throughout camp, he hasn't really been getting those first team reps. He's sort of been disappearing. So I think Efton Chisholm is sort of falling back into that practice squad possible type guy. People in New England like to call it the Foxborough flu, you know, like a mysterious injury that moves a guy to, you know, long-term IR. And then that allows the team to retain him and develop him and doesn't allow him to, you know, move on to another team. So that's sort of where I see this going with Efton Chisholm. I would love for the guy to make the team. I think he has sort of that Pop Douglas type of skill set. It's always fun when that tiny little guy is a huge impact on an offense, but it just feels crowded right now.
No, I get it. I get it. Okay. That's great. That's what we needed to hear. Some clarity around that situation. Last question. What about Hunter Henry? Is he someone we should expect to be, you know, last time, if I'm not mistaken, the last time Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator, he had his highest touchdown, you know, in the touchdown mark for his career. Yeah. And that was, I think, with Mac Jones, if I'm not mistaken, that quarterback. Is he somebody who is connecting with Drake May? And is he the tight end that we should be expecting to be running a route on the majority of Drake May's dropbacks? And how's that connection looking overall?
Yeah, so he's going to be tight end one. And that was a connection that we saw work at times last year. So Drake has talked throughout the spring and when we've talked to him throughout camp about having that connection with Hunt. That's what he calls him. And I do think that the Josh McDaniels offense, it's not breaking news here. It helps tight ends succeed, right? Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, those guys put up huge numbers in the Josh McDaniels system. And then, as you mentioned, in 2021, Hunter Henry's best season with the Patriots was with Mac Jones at quarterback with McDaniels at the OC spot. So I think with McDaniels coming back into the fold and Drake May and Hunter Henry already having that pre-existing relationship, you're going to see him have an even better year than he had last year, which was up and down, right? And it was just a bad year offensively. So I think the year that you see from Hunter Henry this year will be more akin to that 2021 season than it was any of the other seasons he's been in New England, purely because of the play caller and the quarterback is better. I think we can all agree that Drake May is better than Mac Jones as a rookie. So that's how I feel about it. I also think Austin Hooper is going to have a really nice season for Austin Hooper standards, right? So if you're looking for someone, you know, guys get injured, midweek waiver pickup type guy, maybe you're in a two tight end league. I don't know. I think Austin Hooper's a guy.
Even Hunter Henry's barely getting drafted right now.
That's surprising to me. For me in fantasy, and again, we can talk off air about my issues, but I always find that that tight end is one of the most shallow positions in fantasy. Like if you don't have one of the 5-6 tight ends that matter, you're kind of screwed.
True.
I think Hunter Henry is a guy that really should be sort of at the top end of that middle tier of tight ends. I'm surprised he's not getting drafted. If you're in like a 10 team league or 12 team league, really probably the 12 and up league. That's a league where I think a Hunter Henry should be getting drafted personally.
Yeah. I mean,
for all the reasons I just said.
And this kind of goes back to what I was saying at the top of the show, where people are just so, you know, people have recency bias on what the Patriots offense looked like last year. And like you said, everything is changing. And it just provides an opportunity for all of us. And I've been calling them and the Colts kind of like two teams who have a lot of players who are very, very undervalued. But the Colts have a more complex quarterback situation right now than the Patriots do. So the Patriots, just, you have a Stephon Diggs who's coming off the ACL. But like you said, it was like, and also it was a clean ACL tear, right? And on top of that, Stephon Diggs is a madman in terms of, like, you know, him getting back, you know, and the rehab process. He probably did more work faster than other wide receivers would have, especially at his age. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here for value. And I think Hunter Henry is definitely somebody, like, if you punted that position, guys, like, Hunter Henry probably be somebody that you want to depend on. Because, A, we saw Drake May have a connection with him last year at times. It was inconsistent because the offense was stupid. And then before, you know, Hunter Henry had success with Josh McDaniels in the past, too. So there's some synergy there. I just want to say, man, like, it means so much for you to come on, you know, and talk Patriots. Guys, Tom Carroll, you can find him on X at your boy TC Fresh. You can just search Tom Carroll on Twitter. You'll find him pretty easily. AKA Tommy Freeze Pops, WEEI Radio, talking all things New England. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. And please help me not finish in last place again. Before we go, can I just tell you the punishments that I've had to do as the last place finisher in my league?
I want to hear it.
Okay. So a few years ago, this was 2021. So I came in last one other time. So three times I've been in last.
Oh, the geez. That's three times in the last three seasons, Tom.
Okay. So 2021.
Three times in the last four seasons.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not great. It's not great. I had to sit at a Denny's for 24 straight hours. That was brutal.
Please tell me somebody recorded this.
So I actually turned it into a live broadcast, and I interviewed like 36 people in 24 hours. So I figured if I'm going to be there, I might as well turn it into content. 100%. It was a regret of mine, though, because by the end of it, I'm like, crap, I've been talking for 24 straight hours. I feel like I'm going to die. So hindsight's 2020, cool idea, but going to die by the end of it. So that was the first punishment.
Love it.
Last year, the winner of the league got to choose last place's spot where they had to play an instrument of their choice for 4 hours in public. So I was told that I needed to go to downtown Providence and play the triangle in public for 4 hours. So I have the triangle behind me here.
I see it. Did you have to collect tips also?
So what they wanted us to do, and I thought this was cool. We did it as like a charity thing. So I picked the American Cancer Society, and I put up a sign. I think I raised like $60 in 4 hours, which is better than not raising $60. So that was last year.
Had something to do with your triangle skills. You probably were pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe if I was better, I would have raised more money. And so for this season, before our draft, I need to do what is called the milk mile, which I'm sure people can probably guess what it means. But for those that don't know, for every lap around the lap where I run a mile, I need to drink a glass of milk. So I've got it down. So it's a glass of milk before it starts too. So it ends up being the track that I'm going to do it on is four laps is a mile. So it ends up being six glasses of milk over the course of running a mile.
You better have a bathroom nearby, man.
Oh, I'm definitely going to throw up. There's no question about it.
So is this already scheduled? When is this?
I'm probably doing it on Saturday. I don't know if I'm going to film that one. That's going to be the first one I think I don't try and get content out of. Like me running, no one wants to see that, number one. Number two, throwing up from drinking milk is disgusting. So that one I might punt on making content out of.
Goodness.
But it's been a brutal run for me. But the thing is here, I don't have the worst team. I always end up losing the loser's bracket, if that makes sense. So I'll always end up being one of the teams that just misses the playoffs. And then we have a loser's bracket for whatever reason, they decided it would be funny to, I voted against it, but no, I lost in the league vote. Now, so the last few years we've had a loser's bracket and my team has just gotten really bad luck those last three, 4 weeks of the year. However, I think it's 3 weeks and that's led to me end up finishing last in the loser's bracket, which has led to me losing. So I don't necessarily have bad teams. I just have bad beats leading up to the playoff.
Tom, that's what they all say.
Okay. Oh, man.
I love it, man.
Why do I do this to myself?
So good. That's so good. We all do this to ourselves every year, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we get through, you know, we get through these brutal losses, and then we're just right back in, you know, and every single year.
I missed the playoffs by 3 points last year.
Oh, that's not good. That's brutal. No. That hurts way more, honestly.
And it was because it was the Monday night game where the Niners left Brock Purdy in the game to like pick up garbage time yardage. Oh, and I'm watching this game and I'm just refreshing my fantasy page, watching Brock Purdy knock me out of the playoffs. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
You know, there's nothing worse. Are you on the East Coast?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So there's nothing worse than staying up until like 11:30 on a Monday. Yep. And just like watching, like in those last couple seconds of the game, your team losing, and then you have to go right to sleep.
Yep. Like that is soul is just dying. And the thing is, as soon as I knew I was going to miss the playoffs, I'm like, I'm going to come in last place. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to happen. And that's what happened. And you know, what really bit me was that it was twofold. I wanted to draft Saquon Barkley, and the guy I was picking fourth overall, the guy picking third picked Barkley. So that really bit me. And then one of my keepers was Anthony Richardson. I was one of these suckers that was like, yeah, Anthony Richardson is going to have a great year. I was fooled by the flashes we saw his rookie year. And
that was me.
We all saw what happened with Anthony Richardson last year. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it, and Tyreek Hill was my other keeper and he had the season Tyreek Hill had. So brutal, just brutal.
Listen, everyone listening to this can totally understand everything you're saying right now. There's so much connection here. Like, it's not even funny. So
guys, I need help.
Listen, Tom, we're going to talk. We're going to get this right. And we're going to get Tom back in the playoffs, guys. Okay. That's what we're going to do. All right, Tom, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, man. This was so helpful. When we're done here, I'm re-listening to this again because there was so many good nuggets in here. Amazing. So Tom, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.